Welcome back to the Radio Cafe. I'm speaking with Tomas Rivera. He is the executive director of Chainbreaker Collective, a local economic and environmental justice organization. Chainbreaker works to expand access to affordable transportation and support economically and environmentally sustainable communities for low-income people in northern New Mexico. Welcome to the Radio Cafe, Tomas.
Thanks for having me.
Your organization has been around since 2004, I was surprised to hear, but it's changed slightly in its mission. Can you tell us a little bit about that evolution?
Sure, absolutely. So, as you said, Chainbreaker is an economic and environmental justice organization. We were founded in 2004 as a bicycle recycling project, which is sort of a model that happens around the country. Basically, we show people how to fix up donated bikes and then gave them away. Very informal for the first few years, literally operating out of storage sheds.
And how many bikes did you process during that time?
You know, in the beginning, it was so informal that we had a hard time counting it. But there were so many, it was about 100 a year. Is what
Fantastic.
We started thinking about. And now, we still have that project. It's called the Bicycle Resource Center. But we started expanding in about 2008, 2009 to deal with transit issues in general. So we became a membership-based organization and focused on bus ridership. We have since made sure that the city council didn't cut our bus service by about a third. That was our first campaign, and have sequentially worked on transit policy since then.
And how has that process been?
It has been, as you imagine, an uphill battle. I think we have about 300 dues-paying members now. We have about 2,000 supporters on our list of people supporting us. So, I mean, there's a lot of community support for the organization. Transit ridership on buses around the country, but in Santa Fe, has gone up steadily for the last several years. So ridership is going up, but funding is actually going the opposite direction. So we're not seeing the political will match the community need here. So I think that, you know, we've been successful in making sure there hasn't been cuts, but we are not seeing transit and bus service expand in the way that we need it to meet the needs of the community here in Santa Fe.
Tell me a little more about transportation in Santa Fe and how you saw it initially when you began and how you see it now.
Sure. So a lot of people talk about transportation all the time, right? Gas prices are almost a daily conversation now, like the weather. You know, and again, in 2008, the economy collapsed all over the place and we hit this new crisis. The two issues that were talked about as creating that crisis was gas prices and the housing bubble bursting. Those are actually two issues that Chainbreaker is kind of focusing on directly. What that means is the scenario in Santa Fe is that people, particularly low-income people, are sort of being priced out of their neighborhoods, being pushed farther and farther outside of the city to areas like Airport Road, you know, the south side of town, which is growing exponentially. But those are the lucky folks. Pohuaca and Española are really where people are moving. Rio Rancho, Albuquerque, and commuting. Because this is people's homes. This is where people feel like they belong. And so what that does is these areas don't have a lot of public transportation. The South Side has a few bus routes, but not what we need them to. So it kind of creates a situation when people feel like there's very little choice other than driving a car. So that creates a cycle called car dependency. And we think that car dependency keeps people poor. A lot of members and a lot of folks that we talk to spend up to a third of their income on transportation costs, which is, you know, I mean, that's astounding. That means that people are working for 4 months out of the year just to get to and from work. So when we talk about transportation, we really view it from an economic justice lens. We really view it as a civil rights issue because it's about access to our city. You know, this dynamic particularly affects low-income people and particularly affects communities of color. And so we think that you know, as we view transportation and access to transportation through that civil rights lens, we know that we need to try to create more equity when it comes to transportation so that people really aren't stuck in this cycle of poverty.
And you have a three-point platform here, basically, that you talk about here. Can you go through all three? You've touched a bit on it, but...
Absolutely. Well, so that's the kind of the issue here in Santa Fe, and I think a lot of people kind of just assume that car dependency is the way that it has always been and the way that it has to be. It's far from the reality. It's not the case in many cities in the United States or elsewhere. So what we think is the first step, and we think of it really as sort of a Band-Aid solution, but an urgent, necessary one. That's to expand our transit service. Mm-hmm. So instead of sort of our community facing kind of constant threats of cuts and fare hikes and this fear of funding being cut for transit, we need to see more money going in there. So that means we need to see more service, new routes. We need to see that increase, particularly in the sprawling areas of, along Airport Road. You know, the line that goes up and down Cerritos comes every 15 minutes or so, and it's well ridden because people can use it. It's reliable, and it's something that people can depend on. That needs to be the case throughout the city, which is really a funding issue. So that's sort of the first step. The second step is this: to curtail the sprawl that's happening out there, right? So one of the reasons that people need to commute so long, one of the reasons we need to have expansive transit systems, is because people can't walk to work, people can't walk to the grocery store, because they live 12, 13, 15 miles away from it. And so when we talk about creating a walkable city, you know, that's possible in some of the areas that are really expensive to live in. It's not possible if you live at the end of Airport Road and you're commuting 12 miles to get to work every morning. So we think that we need to see some real concrete policies that curtail that sprawl, that make the area more walkable, that provide job opportunities, that make it a place that's friendly for kids with parks and recreation centers, access to healthy food. You know, we don't want to see any more food deserts. We don't want to see any more car dependency forced upon people. So that's the second step. But the real root of this problem is that displacement issue, right? So we think that Santa Fe should be affordable. We think that there should be stronger policies that make it so that people can live in centralized areas that are walkable, right? We think that low-income people should be able to live downtown. So we think that there should be policies that protect affordable housing, particularly centralized affordable housing here in Santa Fe, and make it so that people don't get pushed out of their neighborhoods and priced out of neighborhoods, in some cases, that people have lived in for many generations. So again, you know, we really view it as both an economic justice issue and a civil rights issue, because that sort of legacy of displacement and gentrification is something that is, it's a hard pill for people to swallow, and it's not just about car dependency, it's about civil rights.
Well, and that's certainly a conversation not just happening here in Santa Fe, but I think kind of around the country, where people are getting pushed out, and also the issues of transportation, and Right. Everything is really connected here.
Absolutely, and you know, you can't talk about transportation without talking about housing and urban planning. So, Chainbreaker is really expanding into this issue right now. We're part of a national coalition called Right to the City that's really dealing with housing justice work on the national level. And we're participating in some local campaigns that really support that work, because Santa Fe is really progressive, and we're used to standing up and saying, you know, we're not going to just wait for Congress to stop fighting amongst itself. We're going to really take initiative, you know. We have a very strong living wage law. That's something that's really helped a lot of people in Santa Fe that we want to expand. We're working on a campaign to expand that to the county right now in support of, you know, a lot of organizations, a lot of local unions, Somos un Pueblo Unido. And so we're going to continue doing that work, and you know, we're going to really see ourselves as part of a larger movement, because this is a national issue. It's not specific.
There are also a lot of groups here in Santa Fe doing that. I mean, I think I first noticed you when there was a big kind of community conversation led by Carmichael Dominguez, and it was a very interesting and fantastic conference that had a lot of different elements talking about well-being. I know Happiness Santa Fe, my own work has dealt with that. Creative Santa Fe is talking about walkability and livability. Okay. So it seems that it is a conversation even here in the city that's gaining momentum, and that if people could come together to really talk about transportation issues, livability issues.
Absolutely, and I think because the problem and the need is obvious. I mean, it's everywhere, and people understand that. Again, if people are spending a third of their income on transportation, that's a cycle of poverty, and people know that. I think that what's important is for us to continue having sort of the civil rights lens that we look at it and say, you know, we want to make sure that every place is walkable, not just, you know, the downtown area, not just specific neighborhoods. We want to make sure that everybody has equal access to the city. And I think that, you know, the conversations are definitely happening in the neighborhoods, but we're not seeing our elected officials step up in the way that needs to happen. I mean, we're not seeing policies that match the rate of sprawl that's happening on the south
right,
side.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And, you know, we actually just put out a voter guide that talks about a lot of these. We know there's a city election coming up, and we did that so that people, both to educate the candidates about the issues, because they're a little complex, but also because we want, you know, our community to be informed voters when they're going out there. Transportation is an issue that a lot of people are going to, you know, vote based on, you know, candidates' responses to that. So we want people to be informed.
And how can people get a hold of this voter guide? You have some very thoughtful questions. You ask all of the candidates, and it's interesting to see their responses. Some are not vastly different. I think people generally support the idea. Some go a little more specifically into services that could be implemented.
Yeah, you know, I think we encourage people to go and look. We're a nonpartisan organization, but our website has all that information. It's chainbreaker.org, all one word, chainbreaker.org.
Singular, no chain breakers.
No S. Yeah, and you know, there's links to the voter guide right on the front page there. I think that it's important because people really say, oh, well, this is an important issue, but the depth of it, you know, the sort of meat and potatoes of it, isn't always necessary. Sometimes we feel like it's lost on the people who are really making the decisions about that affect our lives. So,
and also there's some very basic some basic issues that people can do. I just want to talk really quickly about the funding. The Federal Public Transportation Act authorized in 2012, Santa Fe gets less than $200,000 a year for 2 years, whereas the city's received between $800,000 and $1 million from the federal government in the recent past. So this is a fairly severe cut.
Absolutely. We've seen almost 90% of our funding on the federal level cut for Santa Fe Trails here in Santa Fe. And at the same time, we haven't seen the city council step up in the way that they need to really replace that funding. We're seeing a crisis looming where, because of that federal funding, we know that if buses aren't replaced, in this year, then we're going to see severe service cuts come by 2016. And that level of urgency isn't something that it seems to be lost on city council, right? It sounds like 2016 is a long way away. But if we don't order buses right now, 18 months is how long it takes to build a bus by the time you order it. So that funding needs to be secured, they need to be ordered, and they need to be on the streets by 2015. And that's just to maintain the system that we have right now. We're not talking about new things. We're talking about avoiding massive cuts, which would be a travesty for so many bus riders in Santa Fe.
And these buses need to be maintained. They break down. In an article in the Albuquerque Journal last October, we had a fleet of 36 buses, but you're always supposed to have like 25% spare buses, right. And it looks like the fleet could shrink to 23 buses by February. Now, some people may think that's 23 buses, that's a lot, but it's not, considering the number of people, the sprawl, the people who actually want a bus. There's some ideas also. Tell me about some of the options of maybe making smaller buses on some of these routes.
Sure. You know, we hear that a lot, and smaller buses are certainly an option. But to folks who actually ride the bus, we know that it's standing room only a lot. Whenever there's the service that is required, you know, like this Rios line, and I'm not even just talking about rush hour. I'm talking about random parts of the day. You'll get on there and you won't find a seat. The need is absolutely there. The problem is a resource allocation problem. So we need to, you know, we can look and say a smaller bus, which isn't a huge cost savings. The reality is that we need to step it up and find new sources of revenue to support transit to meet the need of the community. Because transit is an essential service. And without transit, people aren't getting to work, they're not getting to school.
I'm speaking with Tomas Rivera. He's the executive director of Chainbreaker Collective, an economic environmental justice organization that really focused on transportation as a human rights issue and an equal access issue. What can people do here to get involved beyond looking at their voter guide, certainly voting for the candidate who they feel will really support transportation in Santa Fe? Are there also specific issues they can propose to their city council?
Absolutely. Yeah. We put out the voter guide. We're a nonpartisan organization, but we did it because we know we're going to be holding our elected officials, no matter who's in office, they're going to be held accountable by our organization and our membership. So what you can do is visit our website, get informed about the issues, but join the organization. We need members. And our membership is composed of folks who are directly affected by it. If you're a bus rider, if you're somebody that struggles with transportation costs, if you're somebody who would like to someday be able to walk to work, if you're somebody who feels like you're going to be kicked out of a house that your family's lived in for 4 years because you can't afford it anymore, then your home is at Chainbreaker and we need you right now. So give us a call, 989-3858. Visit our website, chainbreaker.org, and become part of the movement.
And are you still collecting bicycles and still recycling them and
Absolutely.
Giving them away?
Yes, our Bicycle Resource Center project happens from noon to 4 every Sunday. And it, you know, if you need a bike and you can't afford one, just show up, get your name on the list, first come, first serve. We'll teach you how to fix it up, and we'll trade you out a bike.
Are there a lot of names on that list?
There are. You know, we'll have, in those 4 hours, we'll have 30 people cycle in and out of there. So, you know, we've given out over 1,600 bikes through the program in the last 10 years. That's saved literally millions and millions of dollars of gas of gas costs for our community. It's made so that tons of CO2 emission is not in our air. And frankly, you know, it gives people the ability to work on a bike in a way that they probably wouldn't be able to on their own otherwise. So we know that people have been able to get to work. People have been able to get to meetings. People have been able to get to school because of that project, because we haven't seen service cut on the Santa Fe trails yet. And we're going to do everything we can to make sure that that continues and grows.
And there's certainly the issue of bike paths. I mean, my son and I rode to school yesterday, and I was terrified in some sections of it.
Right.
Really thinking, you know, it's one thing if you're there, but getting your child to go on a bicycle, feeling
absolutely.
Like, oh, this is not safe enough. Wait a minute.
Right. No, absolutely. And that's one, you know, that's a big barrier that we hear to a lot of people. And, you know, most of our members ride because that's kind of what they have to do, because that's the choice that they have. And so people will do it anyway. We actually just worked on and passed a law that helps people who can't afford a bike or a bus pass or helmets or gears, blinking, you know, blinkers and stuff like that. If they get a bike through our program on Sundays from noon to 4, or if they buy one at a local bike store, they could have a free annual bus pass through transit as a rebate. But also they can get a free monthly bus pass for things like helmets or lights, equipment in that way as well. Because we know that safety is something that definitely stops people from doing that and keeps people stuck in this cycle of poverty. So we're really proud of that. It's a very progressive transportation policy and the first of its kind in the country. So.
Well, fantastic work, Tomas Rivera. Thank you so much for being with
thank
us
you.
Today. Go to chainbreaker.org, the Chainbreaker Collective, Sundays, noon to 4.
Absolutely.
For your bicycles. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be speaking with Karen Roth about the Senior Olympics here in Santa Fe. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.